The time is currently 15 minutes after the hour, 2 o'clock. The time has run.
It's the final hour of the show.
Third and final. Right about now, we are going back to our regular regular. You know all the time. Final third hour center coming through. And today, we have Ms. Rebecca Maseko. And we're going to be speaking ADHD in the content, in the context, rather, of classroom, right?
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
Hi, I'm well, thanks.
Still hot.
Yeah. Whoa, it is. And it feels like this side of Joburg is even hotter.
Literally. That's a smile off here. I'm like, okay, why is it so hot? First of all, let me just acknowledge how beautiful you are. She is all colorful. Yes. You know what I mean? She is
right.
So beautiful.
Tonight for Heritage Weekend.
Literally.
Yeah, yeah. We had a Heritage Day celebration at the school that I work.
Beautiful.
I'm actually not only going to be talking about ADHD, it's ADHD and autism.
And autism.
Yes.
Perfect. Yeah, yeah. Love that. Speaking on that, what is a role of an occupational therapist? Because here's the thing. I think so far we've covered a lot.
Yeah.
The society, the family, the relatives, and how they kind of help out with raising kids who have ADHD and autism. So what's the role of an occupational therapist?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So basically, I don't know if your listeners know a lot about occupational therapy. So maybe I can just quickly explain. Basically, occupational therapy is a health profession, and it's a health profession that is very much focused on and aided paid in the activities that are important to them.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know that we work with adults, we work with children, a whole range of different people with different disabilities or different challenges. But obviously, specifically when we now talk about children with ADHD and autism, very often our function is to actually help them achieve their developmental milestones, mm-hmm. as well as cope in the school environment, because that's where many of the challenges arise.
Exactly. I can imagine, because it's so crowded and everyone is just doing, kids are just being kids at school.
Yeah.
So they don't understand what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you think about it, your average child has a lot of challenges, and school is not always easy, right?
Exactly.
And every kid comes with their own difficulties and own strengths and weaknesses. But a child who then, on top of that, has a neurodevelopmental condition such as ADHD or autism, the challenges are just that much greater.
Yeah. Now, so far, we've equally discussed ADHD, sure. And I mean, ever since we started with neurodevelopmental, we've spoken equally about ADHD and autism, but now I want to know what are the differences and the similarities between the two.
Yeah, so ADHD and autism are both neurodevelopmental conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said, what that actually means is that it affects the way that the child develops.
Mm-hmm.
And in the way that it then, the way the symptoms are displayed in the kids, there's a lot of overlap actually, which is why sometimes it's difficult to distinguish. They might first have a diagnosis only of autism or ADHD, and then the other one gets added. But actually, there's quite an overlap as well. So you will find a lot of people with autism, actually more than 50%, will also have a diagnosis of ADHD.
Very
often you get both of the conditions together. But for instance, you obviously know that ADHD has got to do all about attention, concentration. You will find the kids to be very impulsive, often hyperactive and focused. Their concentration just jumps from one activity to the next. You more have the social difficulties and communication. Those are the two main areas where a child with autism will really struggle in. And then on top of that, they are actually often very intensely focused on one thing. So they don't like change.
Yeah.
So sometimes your child with ADHD might actually crave new things. You know, they're jumping between tasks. Often your child with autism, they don't like change. They are quite rigid. They want things done a very specific way.
Makes sense.
But at the same time, there's obviously a lot of overlap as well.
Mm-hmm.
In ADHD, you have a lot of sensory difficulties as well. So the kids might be sensitive to noises around them. They might need a lot of movement. And as well, in both conditions, you also get social challenges.
Sure.
Just because of the difficulties that the kids experience. They might have difficulties making friends or coping in the classroom environment. Yeah.
So what patterns can we look out for to see if a child has autism or ADHD, or what patterns do you guys look out for?
Yeah. So look, with both autism and ADHD, they are quite challenging conditions to diagnose and to get the right diagnosis for. So very often, you know, you will see the difficulties when the child enters formal schooling. Because suddenly, you know, now they are required to focus, or they are required to actually interact with other people, and they might have difficulties with that. But for instance, with ADHD, it's more just concentration, really, and attention, impulsivity, and hyperactivity. So if a child maybe is in grade R, grade 1, grade 2, and you see, sure, they're really distractible, they can't focus, they're quite impulsive, then generally they would maybe go and a diagnosis of ADHD, and the way ADHD is treated is usually with medication, and it's very responsive to medication. Medication can make a big difference. But in comparison, autism, first of all, you can't treat autism with medication. There are medications. There's not one medication where we can say, okay, this is the medication for autism. You can't treat autism with the medication. You actually need therapy and other types of support. But in autism, very often, as I said, it's the communication that is affected.
Yeah.
So some learners with autism might have a speech delay. Their speech might be a bit peculiar. Sometimes they talk with a American accent. You might get a kid from South Africa and you'll be like, whoa, they sound like they're from America.
Yeah.
Or they have like a cartoon voice. Get that as well. Some don't have any speech at all, obviously, as well.
Yeah.
And then it's the social difficulties more, you know, that that come in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, with ADHD, is it true that people can grow out of it? Because I know people who were treated when they were younger, but now they don't need medication and they're fine. Does that happen?
Yes, yes. So that's actually a very good question. So with ADHD, you do get people that kind of outgrow it, okay?
Yeah.
So I think it's also in part that they just develop coping mechanisms and they learn how to concentrate, right?
Okay.
And they develop those skills. And in comparison, autism, you don't really outgrow.
Yeah.
You will, if you are autistic, you'll be autistic for the rest of your life. Where, I think ADHD is one of those where some people maybe when they're young have a lot of difficulties, but later on not. Where with autism, the likelihood is that you'll, you know, have difficulties and need some type of support for the rest of your life. Yeah.
I'm very interested in how occupational therapists actually support these learners, because we've learned on how parents support the community, relatives, and all of that good stuff. How do OTs support these learners?
Okay. So very often you will find the occupational therapists based in the schools. I myself, for instance, work in a special needs school that is specifically for learners on the autism spectrum.
Sure.
And you'll see in many of the special needs schools, there will be occupational therapists at the school. And what we do then is we work very closely together with the teachers to actually help this child to cope in the classroom environment, okay? Because both kids with autism and ADHD, they might find it difficult to participate in the group setting. The classroom environment can be difficult for them to concentrate in because of all the noise and the other kids around them. So what we do is we help the teachers implement strategies. So for instance, one of the strategies that work wonders for both kids with autism and ADHD is using a visual schedule.
Sure.
Okay. So that's almost like a timetable, but broken down usually only for one day. And depending on the level of the learners, they might use pictures or they might use written words to say, this is how the day starts. In the morning, we are all whatever, having morning ring. Then we are having a maths lesson. Then we're having writing. Then it's break time. Then it's, you know, arts and culture or something.
Yeah.
So they actually have a structure to the day, but not just saying to the kids, but writing it down. Because really, and especially kids with autism, they need things to be visual.
Yeah.
Often auditory processing is challenging for them. But if you make things visual, it helps them to feel less anxious, to know what's coming next. And like I said, they can be very rigid. They struggle with change. But if you write things down and you have it written and you can use an arrow or something to say, this is where we are at now. Look, this is what's happening next. It can really help them to actually concentrate and to cope with the structure of the day. Yeah. So that's, for instance, something that really works well.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you give some tips to your teachers by your school on how to deal and help out and support these learners. But now I need you to at least give us some practical tips, especially for those that aren't from, or teachers that are actually not from specialized schools.
Yes.
What tips? What practical tips can you give to them?
Yeah, and it is a big challenge. I mean, we have many learners who are on the autism spectrum and with ADHD in mainstream schools as well. And I think especially in classes where there's lots of learners, it's very difficult for the teachers. One thing that always works is to incorporate movement in the classroom routine. Kids struggle to stay seated at the table and to just, you know, stay in one spot for the whole day. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, even for adults, that's difficult. We need to move around. You know, you feel restless. Mm-hmm. As soon as you've maybe been sitting for half an hour, you feel like you need to get up. And if you think about the structure of a school day, kids are required to spend a lot of time just sitting
down.
Yeah, and then we expect them to concentrate. You know, and that doesn't work. So incorporate little exercises, like, for instance, to say, okay, everyone, get up. Let's stretch our arms up, touch your toes, do some chair push-ups. You know, even take the class outside. Go for a walk around. Do some work in standing. And also allowing a bit of flexibility in terms of, if you see a child is really restless, do they have to sit at the table? Maybe not. Maybe they can go and do their work lying down on the carpet, you know, or maybe they can even go outside, take their workbook outside and complete the task outside if they need some fresh air. So just incorporating some flexibility can often really be helpful.
I see. And with that being said, what happens if the teacher realizes that a child may have symptoms of autism? What should they take after that?
Yes. So it is, you know, very often the teachers are the first ones to really pick up on it.
True.
My first advice would always be to actually have an honest discussion with the parents. Because sometimes you will see even the parent, they had a feeling that something was different with their kid, you know. And so we also want to be in a bit of denial, you know. So I would say the teacher should have a meeting with the parent and then try to involve the school-based support team. Are there any therapists or counselors in the school that could maybe assist? And then usually it's really recommended to suggest to the parents to take the child to a healthcare professional. Possibly, you know, a mental pediatrician or a child psychiatrist. If they don't know where to go, they can obviously go to their local GP or clinic and get referred on from there. But it's really good to actually see underlying causes for the difficulty, because an ADHD, there could obviously be a number of things.
We really do appreciate the work that you guys are doing, hey? Honestly,
I love it, you know, it's my passion.
But there's only so much teachers and families and parents can do.
Yes, we really
do need experts to be involved and get involved and do some stuff and help us out.
But it's a team effort, you know. It takes the parent and the teacher and the therapist, and we all need to work together. You know, we need to take hands and
And it's also the hour 2 o'clock. We'll wrap it up just like that with Mrs. Rebecca Maseko. Thank you so much for gracing us with your presence today.
Thank you. It's been such a pleasure, and thanks for this opportunity.
Beautiful. Continue being beautiful. So you'll be working away with all your beauty and your glory.
Thank you.
Beautiful stuff. We're coming back next week again with the center, and we're going to be speaking everything that you can, you may think of, and as far as autism and ADHD is concerned. We're going into Youth Smile, Lisa, and the other things on. And we are being stay tuned.